Today's scripture reading for today comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. He responded, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Dear friends, I am praying that all is well with you and that you enjoy good health in the same way that you prosper spiritually. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's that time of year, New Year's resolution time. So I thought we would start with just a quick poll this morning. If you have ever made a New Year's resolution, just raise your hand. You don't have to raise it up high because we're Methodist and we just don't do that. That's what I thought. That's perfect. Okay, now, how many of you, and remember you're in church, you have to be honest, how many of you have ever broken a New Year's resolution? Yeah, I have to raise two hands up. That's how many that I have broken. It's so interesting. Every year we have these same New Year's resolutions over and over and over again. Now, you may not know this, but New Year's resolutions go all the way back to the Babylonian Empire. And the number one resolution they made back then was to return borrowed farm equipment. Now, I actually have never resolved to do that, so I thought it might be interesting if we started off this morning with the top 10 New Year's resolutions. And year after year, these are the ones that people make. So we're going to start with number 10. Number 10, set time aside for yourself. Number 9, stop procrastinating. Number 8, improve your relationships. Number 7, stop smoking. Number 6, manage stress better. Number 4, eat healthier. Number 5, eat healthier. Number 4, get a new job. Number 3, exercise. Number 2, improve your finances. And the all-time favorite, number 1, lose weight. I think I have made all of those resolutions except for one. Every year we make the same resolutions, and every single year we break them over and over and over again. But what if this year was different? What if this year we added God to the equation? Would it make a difference? Well, I would argue that the answer is yes, and I know that to be true because I watch HGTV. Stay with me. It will all become clear in just a few moments. I love to watch HGTV. I watch it nonstop. I love to watch it for all kinds of reasons, not the least of which it is a way that I torture my beloved husband. I just love that show, and he hates it. Yeah, he's up there amening. But I love all the shows on there. I mean, I just really do. I love The Property Brothers. I love Bargain Hunt Beach House. I love House Hunters International, Love It or List It. I mean, I could name them all because I like all the shows. But my all-time favorite show on HGTV is actually the number one in the country on HGTV. It's everybody's favorite show. It's called Fixer Upper. And it's just an awesome show. It's hosted by this really charming married couple named Chip and Joanna Gaines. They live in Waco, Texas, and the premise of the show is really pretty straightforward. You take the worst house in the best neighborhood, and then you fix it up into your dream home. Now, I know what you're thinking. What does God have to do with a show called Fixer Upper? Well, the answer is very simple. God is in the fixing upper business. I mean, that's why Jesus came here. Jesus came here to show us what we were doing wrong and then to show us how to do it right. What's more, as United Methodists, we believe in this thing we call sanctifying grace, which means the Holy Spirit is never finished with us. The Spirit continues to move and fix us up all throughout our lives. So maybe, just maybe, if we do what that video said and invite God into this whole notion of New Year's resolutions, we might actually keep the promises instead of breaking them year after year like we're used to. So that's why we're starting this three-week sermon series called Fixer Upper. We're going to be looking at a different topic each and every Sunday. We're going to look about what does God have to say about our health, our finances, and our attitudes. But that's not all we're doing. Each Wednesday, after the previous Sunday's topic, we're going to offer a class based on that topic. So that's what we're going to do. So let's just go ahead and get started. Now, some of you may believe that God is only concerned with our spiritual health, but you are off target if you do. God is concerned about every aspect of our lives, and that includes our physical health. I mean, we're made in the image of God. Now, sometimes we think it's good to be healthy physically, but we know that our spiritual health is more important. Well, not according to our scripture reading today. I mean, you just heard it read. Dear friends, I'm praying that all is well with you and that you enjoy good health, in the same way that you prosper spiritually. Do you see that connection that the scripture is making? That direct link between spiritual health and physical health? I mean, we are made in God's own image. And God in Jesus became human and he lived in a physical body. Jesus was what my granddaddy would call a working man. Now, we call him a carpenter. But in first century Palestine, it was much more like being a stonemason. That was hard, physical work. And I'm pretty confident that Jesus did not have to get a gym membership to get in shape. And then during his active ministry, he and his disciples, they walked all over the country. And I'm confident he logged more than 10,000 steps a day. You see, we should not separate the physical from the spiritual. They're a part of the whole. Our minds, our spiritual natures, our body, they're all interrelated. They're all interconnected. What affects one affects the other. And if our bodies are misused or not taken care of, then our spirit and our minds cannot become what God has ordained them to be. In fact, the Bible actually puts health right at the top of the list. And we know that because of what Jesus did. Did he feed people's souls? Yes, he did. But he also fed their bellies with bread and with fish. He healed the spirit of so many people, but he also spent a great deal of time healing their physical bodies as well. God is concerned with all of us, our spirit, our body, and our soul. Psalm 139 puts it this way, and it's so beautiful. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well, O Lord. Isn't that beautiful? A modern translation might sound something like this: God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make junk, and yet we continue to treat our bodies like junk. God wants us to be healthy. He really does in every way, in every aspect of our lives, but we live in a very unhealthy culture right now. So today, we're going to look at three ways, just three ways, to improve your health. Now, there's a lot more ways to do it, but we're just going to focus on these top three. So we'll start with the first one. Did you know that Christians are more likely to be overweight than non-Christians? I knew that, and I am blaming all those potluck meals. I mean, we Methodists, we cannot get together without bringing food. But it's not just Christians who are fighting the battle of the weight. An estimated 160 Americans are either overweight or obese. And here's the worst statistic of all. Among American children, 30% of our children are overweight or obese. Now, I want you to listen to this part really carefully, okay? I am not standing up here and calling any of you out. I'm not calling you overweight. I'm not calling you fat. In fact, we live in a culture that I believe is obsessed with being too thin. I mean, look at some of those Hollywood starlets. You see pictures of them? They're like a double zero, and you can see every bone in their body sticking out. I mean, my goodness, we were not all created to be a size 2. I was larger than a size 2 on the day I was born. We were created a certain way, and the way we were created is just fine. The goal is not to be skinny. The goal is to be healthy and to take good care of this body that God has given us. Now, recently, this past summer, I lost over 25 pounds in about 7 weeks. I call it the diverticulitis diet, and I do not recommend it. I really don't. I lost all that weight because I couldn't eat without pain. Now, how did I get that way? It was my own fault. I was not taking good care of myself. I was eating way too much processed food. I was working way too many hours in what is a stressful profession. I wasn't drinking enough water. I wasn't exercising enough. I wasn't taking care of myself. Now, am I sorry I lost weight? Come on, I'm a woman. I am not sorry that I lost weight, but I don't ever want to get in that kind of shape again. So here's the thing. If you are concerned about your weight in this brand new year, do not step on the scales. Don't do it. Instead, go online and take something called a body mass index test. It's really simple. It's your weight divided by your height. Now, there's variations depending on gender and how old you are, but the normal range is supposed to be between 18% and 25%. If you're too low, gain some weight. How much fun will that be? If you're too high, then you need to drop a few pounds, and we know how to do that. We eat healthy food and we move more. That's it. I mean, it's really not rocket science. However, if you have ever been on a diet, you know how hard it is. It's one of the most difficult things that you ever do. And that's why we're offering a new class beginning this Wednesday called The Daniel Plan. It's based on that Bible story from the first chapter of the book of Daniel. It's based on biblical principles, and it focuses on faith, food, and friends. It is not a diet. It is a lifestyle. And I got to tell you, if I was not preaching the pastor's Bible study, I think I might be in the Daniel class. And if you're interested in that, there's sign-ups out in the gathering area. Now, we've talked about our weight, and we know we need to keep a healthy weight, but some doctors believe the number one health problem in our country is a loss of sleep. And sometimes when I look at how tired you look, I know that is true. I mean, we live in a 24-hour world. There are so many things to do other than to sleep. I mean, there's 24-hour cable television, there's the internet, there's email, there's Facebook, reading a book on your iPad or on your Kindle. Our sleep deficit is related to just doing too much. Too much caffeine, too much nicotine, too much alcohol, and too much working. We work too many hours in the office, and then we come home and we work some more. Those are just some of the reasons we don't sleep enough as adults. On the average, most adults need to sleep between 7 and 8 hours a day. Kids and teenagers, they need a lot more. Now, you have probably met people who say, I only sleep 3 hours a night and I do just fine. And that's probably true. It's probably true. But they are in the minority. Most of us need much more sleep than that. So what happens when you are sleep deprived? Your brain feels like mush. And you're not hitting on all cylinders. Just this past Thursday, I woke up at 3 a.m. and I could not get back to sleep. I could not get back to sleep. So finally, I just gave up, got dressed, came to church. I got here at 6 a.m. last Thursday, and I stayed to 5 p.m. Now, did I get a massive amount of work accomplished? No. Because your work performance declines when you are sleep deprived. I couldn't stay focused on anything, and I managed to forget not one but two appointments. What made it even worse was Pastor Arthur had not slept very well the night before either. So we were like zombie pastors last Thursday. You know, we were lurching around the office, walking into walls, just not getting much done. We need to sleep, but yet we just keep on working. We have this joke in the staff office that we could get so much more work done if we knew which other staff person was awake in the middle of the night. And so we've decided what we need is instead of a bat signal over the city of Alabaster, we need a flame and a cross. And that way we'll know who's awake and we can get so much work done. But that's the problem, isn't it? We have trouble letting go of work, and that means we cannot slow down enough to get some sleep. But there's more to sleep deprivation than a mushy brain. Studies show that people who get less sleep are at greater risk for heart disease, more likely to be overweight, and they have a shorter lifespan. There are all kinds of problems linked to our sleep. So what are we to do? Well, the first thing you need to do is check with your doctor. There are over 100 identified sleep disorders, and you may have one. Another big help is a bedtime routine. I mean, we do that with our kids. It works with our children. Why don't we do it with ourselves? Drink a glass of milk, take a hot bath, go to bed at exactly the same time every night. And most of all, stop using any electronic devices at least an hour before you go to sleep. I'm one of those people, I can't fall asleep unless I'm reading something. And when I switched back to a real book, it made such a difference in my sleep patterns. You have to figure out your own ritual. It doesn't matter what you do. What matters is it works for you and you understand how important sleep is and what the consequences are when you are sleep deprived. So we've talked about our weight. We've talked about our sleep. And last but never least, we are going to talk about our old friend, stress. Now, here's the thing. If you are vertical and breathing, you are going to have stress in your life. That's just the nature of being a human being. But not all stress is bad for us. It really isn't. I mean, stress can help motivate us. It can help us prepare and perform, like right before a big test at school or maybe a job interview. But chronic stress, that's when we get into trouble. It can cause depression, headaches, back and neck pain, digestive issues, anger, irritability, and it can compromise your immune system, which means you get sick more. I've been serving a church for 18 years, and every single year I get sick right before or right after Christmas. Why? It's because it's a very stressful time for pastors. But there are ways to handle that stress in your life. And the first thing you got to do is recognize when you're getting overstressed and just start pulling back. You need to just start pulling back. Set goals, set priorities, and say no to everything else. It is okay to say no. You need to get regular exercise. And here's the thing, every single day, you need to do something you like. Do something that puts a smile on your face. Do something that makes you happy. I mean, you can meditate, you can take a walk, you can rock a baby. All of those things will reduce your stress levels. But most of all, get some help when your stress gets out of control. I received a phone call last week from one of my former youth at a previous church that I have served, and I got to tell you, that young man is stressed to the max. He's in the middle of a divorce. He's very concerned about his child. He's very concerned about being a really good single dad. He works one of those high-pressure jobs where you have to meet quotas every single month, and he's struggling with a pretty significant health issue that is stress-related. Now, here's what his doctor wants him to do. His doctor wants him to take an anti-anxiety drug for about 2 or 3 months, but he doesn't want to do it. That's why he called me. He wanted to talk to me about it. See, he thinks if he does that, it means he can't handle life on his own. He thinks if he does that, that it means he's a loser. Now, I listened to him very carefully. I told him I would pray for him on the phone, and I would continue to pray every day for him, and in a month I'm going to call him back and see how he's doing. But this is what else I said to him. I said, listen, do what your doctor says. You are not lame, and it doesn't mean you're a failure. If possible, find another job that doesn't have that horrendous level of pressure. And most of all, find a way to be good to yourself. Find a way to extend grace to yourself. You see, so many times we are so busy being good to other people that we are not taking care of ourselves. And that brings us back to the other scripture this morning. What is the most important thing? The most important thing that we can do in this life? You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor, how? As yourself. Do you see that connection? I mean, Jesus is telling us the only way to live a true and real abundant life is to love God and neighbor. But you cannot do that fully unless you are taking care of yourself, unless you are loving yourself. Loving yourself is a part of God's plan for your life. Now, I'm not talking about a selfish, self-absorbed way. I'm talking about loving yourself so you can have the life that God wants for you. That's why you need to be healthy. But there's also another reason, because God has a job for each and every one of us. We also have to reach out to people in need. And how can we do that if we are not healthy? I mentioned earlier that the Alabaster Police Department had called on Thursday to see if we would open our church in case the weather really got bad and people would get stranded. And of course we said yes, and all day Friday I kept getting updates from this nice lieutenant at the police department, and I really appreciated that. Now, as it turned out, we didn't have to open up the church, but sometimes just having the offer on the table can make a difference in someone's life. Late Friday afternoon, I received a call on the church's emergency phone line, and it was a gentleman on the line, and he had heard that we were going to open the church if needed, and he wanted to know if that was only people stranded on the freeway, or could other people come? And I said, well, everybody's welcome. And he said, well, I'm just really concerned that we're going to lose our power, and I don't have any other source of heat in my house, and I wanted to make sure that my family would be welcome at the church. And I'm like, sure. And then he said, I also will need to bring my elderly neighbor. She lives just down the street, and I just wanted to make sure that the doors in your church are big enough to get a wheelchair through. And I'm like, of course they are. You know, all of you come. But here's my favorite part. Yeah, the tone of his voice changed, and finally he said, we've got these two little chihuahuas, and they're very old and very spoiled. Would it be okay if we brought them along as well? And I told him, absolutely, because I'm bringing my old dachshund, Miss Lulu, up there too. And then I told him, I will not tell the trustees if you do not. All kidding aside, you could hear the relief in his voice when we finished that conversation. And that phone call is one of the ways we love our neighbors. I mean, the church stands ready to love in every way possible, even if it means giving shelter in the storm to strangers, to ladies in wheelchairs, and even chihuahuas. And that is why God cares about every aspect of your life, your heart, your mind, your soul, and yes, your bodies too. May 2017 be a healthy year for each and every one of us. Thanks be to God. May we pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you that every aspect of us matters to you. We thank you that we are created in your image and that we are your sons and daughters. So continue, Lord, to speak into our hearts through the power of living scripture and help each one of us grow closer to you in this new year and serve you more faithfully. We pray all these things in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.